Hey, this is Cleveland Brown, and you're listening to the About Last Night podcast. I guess your TV must be broken. Haha, just kidding. Actually, I'm not kidding. You're bored.
Today's episode of the About Last Night podcast is brought to you by MyBookie. Are you looking to bet on sports? Are you looking to make some money while you do it? Well, MyBookie has better bonuses and more prop bets than any other sports book, period. This year, they're hosting the first online handicapping super contest. First place winner is guaranteed at least $100,000, and it only costs $100 to enter. I love that deal. Visit MyBookie online today. Use the promo code LASTNIGHT when creating your account to claim the bonus. That's MyBookie.com, promo code LASTNIGHT when creating your account, and you're going to claim a bonus, baby. MyBookie.com. Start winning. Start playing. There's a lot of money out there. Go get it.
Hey, Brad.
What's up, Adam?
Oh, dude, you know, just feeling real chill.
You look good, you feel good.
Oh, and when you look good and you feel good, you pod good.
Darn right. And what's the best way that we can pod good?
Put Koi CBD in your body.
It's so great. I'm so glad that these guys jumped on as the sponsors. CBD oil is the hottest thing in health right now. You watch the news. Every day there's a new study about how good this stuff is.
Oh, yeah.
And the benefits of it.
We're one press conference away from Trump being like, this is why my cheeseburgers taste so good. They've got Koi CBD oil in them. CBD, if you don't know what it is, it's not weed. That's a big misconception. It's an oil derived from an industrial hemp plant that has no psychoactive effects. So you get the medical benefits from the hemp plant without getting the high, man. It's a great natural alternative to over-the-counter and pharmaceutical drugs. Now, there's a lot of uses for CBD oil.
Absolutely.
Creams, tinctures, vapes, gummies, which Koi all provides. I fuck with the gummies every morning because it starts my day off with a very relaxed, chill, meditative. I just feel dialed in. There's got to be something in these gummies that also, you know, gives your brain an extra level of coherentness. Is that the word?
Well, because you probably took
it makes you make up words.
You took a gummy before you said that. That's for sure. And I do the same thing, but I have the oils. I just take the CBD oil. I put it in my tea, and then I'm good to go for
You're
the rest
a tea guy
of the day.
Now. Is that from being married?
I mean, I don't know what it is.
Tea is great though.
I'm a tea guy because it makes me feel good. And CBD oil, Koi CBD oil, makes me feel even better. They got all sorts of flavors. They got
the flavors?
They got peppermint. They got lemon lime. They got blue raspberry. They got all these different things.
They are the fruity pebbles of CBD oil. People use it too for pain, anxiety, inflammation. My mom uses the Koi topical creams for arthritis, and she straight up told me, she's like, "I don't hurt like I hurt before."
That's a great slogan.
And I'm like, that is so honest and real, and that's coming from a Jewish mom. Yeah. And as you said, they don't lie.
This stuff works so well. I'm scared to rub the lotion on me because I think it might cure my dwarfism. And then what the fuck am I going to joke about?
Well, Koi CBD, all these products are manufactured in the USA with 100% natural CBD oil. It's the best tasting product on the market, as we've attested to the flavors. We've tried a bunch. People have come to us all the time trying to be like, yo, can we sponsor? We haven't found the one we've liked until now. And they're America's number one trusted CBD brand. All the products are THC free. And it's a family-owned and operated company. And if you want to fuck with Koi, which you should because we do, and we can't talk about how much we love their products enough, the gummies, the tinctures, the creams, the tinctures, the drops. Dude, I put a couple drops in before I go to bed. And it also makes it easier to drink coffee because coffee gives me a little bit of anxiety.
Yep.
Now it calms me down. So I love that. If you want it, go to KoiCBD.com right now. Put in promo code AboutLastNight, all one word, all caps, for 20% off any retail order from the website. KoiCBD.com, promo code about last night for 20% off the order. Start feeling good, start living good, start looking good, start dwarfing good.
Start dwarfing good.
The official dwarf sponsor.
Koi is the official CBD sponsor of dwarves. Can I say that? I'm pretty sure.
You've got proof.
I'm a dwarf. I'll bring it up at the next meeting.
And now enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. This week, I will be doing a bunch of shows with Dane Cook. I'm going to be at the Wind Creek Event Center in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania on Thursday, September 12th. Tickets at danecook.com. I'm going to be at the Hippodrome Theater in Baltimore, Maryland on Friday the 13th, baby. Ooh, Hippodrome Theater, Baltimore, Maryland, Friday the 13th. Tickets at danecook.com. And then Saturday, holy shit, Radio City Music Hall. Me, Dane Cook, you, New York, Radio City. It's where the Rockettes perform. It's where I've seen Chappelle twice. I can't fucking believe I'm about to do it. That's Saturday, September 14th. Tickets at dancook.com. Radio City, come out and see me, baby. And then a bunch more tour dates for the rest of the fall, almost every weekend, all at adamraycomedy.com. Brad Williams will be in New York City at Caroline's next weekend. Go see Brad. Tickets at bradwilliamscomedy.com. Today's episode is a doozy. It's a good one, man. One of the funniest gals in comedy. You know her from Chelsea Lately. You know her from her new Netflix special, They Ready, produced by Tiffany Haddish. You know her from Last Comic Standing, Sirius Radio, albums all over wherever you get albums, Talk Soup, Access Hollywood, Comedy Central. She's a beast. She headlines everywhere. I get to bring her up at the Comedy Store a bunch. And she's always a fucking beast. It's April Macy making her ALN debut to talk Netflix special to talk how her husband is has been trumped and deported, and that she's fucking dealing with that. It's insane. He doesn't get to come back into the country right now. What the fuck? That's real. Talk about her wild college days, her journey into comedy. It's a real fun, raw, and hilarious episode, which is what April is. Just fucking down and dirty and gives it to you straight. So enjoy the fucking hell out of this episode. It's a lot of fun. What can I say? I like fun episodes. Follow April at April Macy, M-A-C-I-E. Follow me at Adam Ray Comedy, at Funny Brad, at ALN Podcast. Shop AdamRay.com for all your ALN merch. About Last Night Pod at gmail.com. Email us your favorite apps, where you get the pod, how you got into it, what it does for you, if it makes you feel good. And I'm sending out a ton of Adam Ray merch right now to fan emails. So if you want some free Adam Ray merch, hit me up, aboutlastnightpod@gmail.com. Give us a 5-star rating on iTunes, comment on the iTunes page, and then hit us up, aboutlastnightpod@gmail. I'm personally returning all these emails and sending you guys free Adam Ray merch for this month only. So get on it, baby. We need that iTunes comment, the rating, and an email to me at aboutlastnightpod@gmail.com. Going to read those emails, but more importantly, going to send you free merch, baby. All right? Read the Room. My album's still available on iTunes, Amazon, Spotify, Google Play. Go get that. Archibald's next big thing is a cartoon with Tony Hale and Adam Pally that I do a bunch of voices in. That has dropped on Netflix. And I think that's it for now. All right? Fuck. A lot of great apps coming up, by the way. Blake Griffin, which is awesome because we just had Gary Payton, Jared Freed, Richard Kind, Joey McIntyre. The hits keep on coming. So tell your friends, tell your fam. And now that we got the tour dates, Twitter handles, and merch info out of the way, sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with the very funny April Macy.
Well, the weekend's over and it's time to chat about it.
It's time to chat about it.
Got a midget and a juice, so why don't you sit down and listen to our dope podcast. Whether lunch, dinner, or breakfast, Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of day. So
come over and treat yourself right. It's about last night. Come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night. Oh, come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
What, you're trying to have a baby currently?
Yeah, I got like 17 eggs left. We gotta hurry up.
Whoa, there's a number of eggs you guys have? I don't even know.
You know this?
No, I don't even know how girls pee. I don't even know.
I don't know what it is, but.
You didn't. Sure. You didn't go the Whitney Cummings route and freeze them?
No, look at me.
I don't even know what that means, and yet that was funny.
Have you always wanted kids?
No.
Oh shit! What happened?
Not until I met this guy.
There, but
if you want, you can go no cans. I go no cans. Yeah,
I'm not. We'll go. No, I'm a non-headphone.
Okay.
So now you just met your husband, and now you start thinking babies.
He's such a good guy. Like, I realize I've dated just complete pieces of shit up until this point.
I love that.
That's what dating is. You gotta figure out
so many turds, and then you're like, well, I can't have a guy with this. A baby with this fucking dude and his addiction issues. Like, this guy just, you see him with children and you're like, all right, he's supposed to have a baby. If I don't give him one.
Neil Brennan asked me, he's like, why? Because he looked at me one time and was like, why'd you get married? Like, why didn't you just stay single? I go, oh, when I met my wife, I go, like, yeah, that's the mother of my kids.
Yeah.
right there. So that was it. That
Did
made
you know
me go
instantly.
Not instantly, but within the first, because we met on a threesome dating app. So the first, so the first date was supposed to be just fun.
Oh wow! I'm so boring.
No, you're normal. You're just an anomaly.
You are not boring, and yes, no. we are quite the anomaly. Not, I mean, like, because you know, I think we're normal because you know, my wife, you know, like lives with me in my house. Your husband lives where?
It's a filthy Iranian passport. He can't get in.
He can't get in.
Our visa was denied 2 weeks after our wedding. I thought he was coming home with me.
Shut up.
No, and we had applied a year before, so we tried to... I was like, I'm not going to let the immigration process be our story. So I planned like a stunning wedding. We had a beautiful wedding in Santorini, Greece with 60 people. And then we tried to time it. Just based on other calendars, like how it works for the process. And then it was 2 weeks after our wedding, and they said, no, thank you. They handed us a piece of paper, and the woman, you could tell, like, she felt sad and probably wasn't on board with this nonsense.
Right, because you're like, this wasn't supposed to affect white people.
Yeah. I was like, I'm white!
What the fuck?
Well, you don't even realize. Like, you don't realize how valuable your passport is.
Yeah.
When we were planning our honeymoon, he's like, I can go visa-free to Ghana. Jesus Christ. There's, like, nowhere he can go visa-free.
Is Iran, like, and... I don't know if it's Iran, Elon, or I don't know how you pronounce it. But like, is that like a special case, or is this
for a lot of people? No, it's a travel ban. It's the Trump travel ban. Okay. It's just the seven countries that he said like 100% ban.
Right, and then you guys can't go to Hawaii then because that's part of the United States.
This is what the really fucking crazy thing is. Like, we can't even go. Say we want to go to Aruba, and there's a stopover in Miami.
Yeah.
It's considered like a transit visa. He can't even step foot in an American airport to fly somewhere else.
Whoa.
So that limits like the way we have to fly.
So it's like, just like you got to go everything. So it's like, all right, we
can go to Europe, basically.
Yeah, we're going to Europe.
He lives there and he's a resident and permanent resident.
I mean, not the worst thing in the world, but at the same time, holy
nobody
shit.
Nobody wants to travel 24 hours to see their husband once a month. I have to be in Italy.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah. And I didn't see him for 3 months before I shot this thing. So I'm like, well, I got to get ready for it. I've worked for it. You know,
yeah, and you can't, because
and just abandon and be like, I'm gonna stay in Florence and eat cake.
And this thing, let's say what this thing is, because this thing is on Netflix.
Yes.
We watched it last night. It's Tiffany Haddish, They Ready, and it's Tiffany presenting her six favorite female comics,
six broads.
And you guys,
I realize I say fuck a lot.
It's weird when you watch your set back.
Oh my god, I'm a dirtbag. I'm such a
But at the same time, I think that's just who you are.
And no, I am. I'm apparently just a dirtbag.
Yeah,
like I never knew.
Right,
I thought I was delicate.
Right. So yeah, you thought, oh, I'm a lady, and then it's all said. These like, fucking fucks with their fucking.
Yeah, that's all I have. It's like peppered in, like every other word.
But how's the response been so far?
It's been good. Nobody hates me, so that's exciting.
Well,
I haven't gotten any like evil things.
Yeah,
yet. I feel like there's always like a handful of evil.
Sure. I think that your set, first of all, you're a killer. You've been on the road now for pretty much 15 years
gross.
Straight.
Look at me, I'm crumbling. It has been. I've been on the road almost nonstop since 2006.
Yeah. You
feel like too much?
Oh, my face is turning disgusting. It's a
how dare you?
I'm sorry, but when you're on an airplane, it can't be good for you.
Oh, you're
body.
Absorbing every smell, sound, and taste just onto your face.
Every fart.
Especially Spirit. Spirit has no Febreze or any sort of cleaning solutions.
Only United and Star Alliance.
Good for
just
you.
Just based
you
on go. The perks.
Well, this is what I hear about Spirit and what I get for my opener. Mm. But I think that, only on this last trip, actually, because... there was only needed a nonstop, and Spirit was only nonstop from Pittsburgh to LA.
Really?
Which is crazy.
So what are you gonna do?
Yeah, well,
fly
if you need to get home. Yeah.
Sometimes I connect just to get those extra points.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah,
I've done that.
Yeah. What is your least favorite part of the road and your favorite part of the road?
I think as a woman you're just always by yourself. Like it's rare to have a female, like a friend.
Yeah.
So I'm just like lonely, just like a lot of highway wanders. I feel like when they don't put you up in a place that has access to snacks, you're like, why do I have to wander down a highway?
Dude, I need snack access.
Oh my God.
What an asshole.
That, like, the best gigs ever are the one where it's like, oh, where am I staying? At that hotel. Where's the club? Across the street. You're like, yes. Done.
Do you, Boston, Laugh Boston, when you just go downstairs and then you wander across the like little entry area and you're like, oh, there I am.
Yeah. It's so funny, and I've been like, there are certain things that I don't even consider.
Yeah.
I always think like, yeah, there's no difference, men and women, comedian, whatever. And then like we had Nikki Glaser on the podcast, and she told me, she's like, one of the nicest things a man can do is just say, hey, do you want me to just to walk your car?
Yes.
Like, and just
you don't
be
realize
there.
How frightening it is as a woman. Like, I think you're just constantly scared. You're like, oh, there might be a rape murder combo right around the corner.
Jesus,
you never
the combo
know.
Is, yeah.
You the don't... combo, at least if you're going to get the rape, you might as well get the murder so you don't have to live with it for the rest of your life.
Yeah. So it's like, so it's like my worst day of the year is St. Patrick's Day. So that's just, so you're just like constant St. Patrick's
like
Day.
That's like one day.
Yeah, one day.
Yeah, that's one day, Brad. That's not a cool example.
I can stay inside.
See, you're not close to being a woman.
Yeah.
Oh.
But is there a way to, you just have to get like, you know, tactics and weapons, or do you just kind of avoid certain areas or?
Certain tactics. Like, I think if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Like, my ex used to make fun of me because I locked the door. You're like, oh, yeah, I locked. He's like, who's coming up here to get you, rape ninja? I'm like, you never know. Like,
by the way, that's the first guy that's coming, rape
but
ninja.
But it's somebody with like one of the, what's one of those like repelling? He's like, what is he gonna have, a repelling hook?
Oh,
and
yeah,
like,
oh,
maybe
some Spider-Man,
you know,
shit.
That's how.
Maybe,
lady, it's how it happens.
Dude, this day and age, anytime we hypothesize about something insane, I'm like, yeah, that's now a possibility because look at the time we're living in. Like, where there's nothing that's.
I mean, your husband can't visit the damn country.
No.
Like, it's once. So you're.
It's so crazy.
You're
so
in
when
a long,
can he get over here?
Yeah.
He's travel banned.
So he'll get over.
Iranian.
So
fuck.
So he'll get over here after the next election, hopefully.
Or, I don't think so. I feel like he's going to be reelected.
Oh
God! Is everybody keeps saying that, and I hate that. No, I think we'll figure it out, and I think more shit's going to come out close to it that'll you know, he'll pull.
I don't know what else could happen.
He'll
at this
pull
point.
Hillary.
Well, now I feel like we're committed because we bought a bar and restaurant. So
you,
now
you
I'm a
husband.
Restaurateur now. Yeah, I'm a fancy restaurateur.
Where? Where's the restaurant?
In Florence, Italy.
In Florence,
Whoa.
Italy.
Yeah.
So now are you just like watching like a restaurant takeover and bar rescue and all these shows?
It's not. I feel like it's his, but we're married, so I feel like I get to claim it as my own.
Hey,
but he does all the work and spends like 14 hours a day there. Whereas I tell wiener jokes for 45 minutes and take aggressive lots of naps.
How are you not like, so you're going back to Italy every 3 weeks.
Yeah.
So you're in a long distance relationship, but you're married.
Yeah.
And see, I feel like this is like one of those stories, like I've heard some of my friends grew up and it's like, yeah, my dad came to the country first, worked for 5 years, sent money home to the family. We saw him, you know, once a year. And then eventually the family had enough money to move over. I'm like, who the fuck does that? And now you're living one of those stories.
That's kind of our story. Like, we just don't have any options.
Yeah.
we got a little cash. We just don't have any options.
Have you ever thought about just like moving to Canada or something? Like something,
you know,
close?
People say that. I'm like, why? I don't really like Canada that
I know,
much.
It's
and I'm
not
like,
that
if
great.
I'm not going to live here, I would just live, like, we have a nice house and Central Florence, and the cost of living is like ridiculously inexpensive.
It is,
and
huh?
The food's,
I mean,
great, and
enough
you have
to
access
wear
to every country.
Yeah, and enough to wear. I'm looking at you right now with your Gucci shoes.
Oh yeah. I got these for $120. Gucci outlet, the mall outside of Florence.
Dang.
Gucci outlet at the mall?
Yeah.
It's called the mall. It's right outside of Florence. It has like high end, but it's super like it. Pretty much wildly inexpensive.
So I'm coming
Not
to visit.
Wildly.
Can we do like an Airbnb so I can get like some
can just
Gucci
stay.
Baby
we
shoes?
Yeah. That people would come to visit?
People can come and visit. We have a nice house and we have a bar.
Is there comedy in
you know,
Italy?
There's not, but we have a downstairs space in our restaurant, so we thought about it because there's like 14,000 English-speaking students every semester.
Yeah.
It's like the number one foreign exchange, or not foreign exchange, what is it? Like study abroad
program. Study abroad. Wait, is Florence where the Amanda Knox thing happened?
No.
You know what that is, right?
Yeah,
remember the girl that studied
she
abroad
murdered,
and she was supposedly murdered her roommate, but she got off.
I think it was in Florence.
Okay.
Whew, so you're good.
Is it Rome?
But like,
it
feels
been
like a bigger city.
Good call,
Florence is yeah. small and manageable.
Anytime I'm, if I hear about something like that in a place that I am going to, like I was just in Pittsburgh, if there was some sort of big Pittsburgh, like mass murder thing, I would have been like, all right, let me find out where that happened so I can not go to that Quiznos.
You know, that happened in wherever it happened. Perugia? Perugia?
Oh, okay.
I can't speak. Perugia, okay. Italy.
All right.
That's where that happened. All but right.
That's small. That's surprising.
I mean, have you gotten familiar with all the surrounding areas?
Like it's funny because now I'm like, I kind of know Italy. Like when friends that's come dope. In, I can take them around and my husband
on a Vespa?
Speaks all the, no, I'm not that good. I'm injury prone. I'm super injured. I can drive.
You're not doing the Eddie Izzard where you just go around Italy, just ciao.
No,
that's
no,
it.
No,
no,
look, I fell on our, what was that? What was the Segway?
Yeah.
I fell 3 times in Greece and then I to be helped by like government officials outside a building.
Oh, that sucks when you're traveling and you're that person because you're just like, God, now they're just looking at me going, stupid American.
Not athletic.
Yeah.
My frame doesn't work well with my frame.
That's insane. I mean, yeah, like you say, there's no comedy clubs there and you have a bar. Maybe you could
We thought about doing like a little downstairs, like a small, because it would hold like 60 to 80.
Yeah.
So
you can do a little Yakov Smirnoff and have your own theater.
With I'm not 60 doing
people.
That. Not if people are going to refer to me as Yakov Smirnoff for the rest of my life.
I mean, you know, it's the worst things that could happen. But well, I mean,
our 1 year anniversary is coming up, and my husband's never been in my house.
Oh, that's crazy.
Jesus.
Yeah,
that's madness. And there's just no way around it. No
we
signs.
We filed a waiver.
No,
yeah. We've been in administrative processing for a year since September 18th. It's just It's bullshit. Like, we had to fill out a 127-page document. Like, you have to get references. Like, we got references. One of his friends is, like, the priest at the Duomo, which is, like, the churchiest of all churches.
The churchiest of churches.
It was, like, the churchiest of churches. And we have, like, this recommendation on, like, priesty stationery with lions facing off. I'm like, it doesn't get any better than that. And they wanted him to fill out a thing. It was, like, every country he had ever traveled in the last 15 years. Every place he had ever been.
Jeez.
With like who paid for it, like who funded it, and you're like
Jesus.
You're like my cousin Al Al Qaeda.
Yeah, like what do you
and who's gonna say that? Like I love how they ask certain questions, like whether it be when you're coming into the country or you're trying to get processed. We're like, who funded these trips? Like someone's gonna fuck up and be like, oh, Bin Laden.
Yeah.
Damn it. like whenever I go into Canada and they're like, what's your purpose for visiting Canada? Like, is anyone ever going to say, commit some terrorist acts?
Yeah, of course not. Well, we were going to Croatia, and I guess because it's EU, but it's not like Schengen territory, mm-hmm. that you have to get like a passport check. So it was like him and I at this counter, and of course the guy's asking him questions. They always do. Sure. And they're like, old white lady face. They're like, get in there. You know, you're too dumb to hurt anybody. But he looked at my passport, and he's like, oh, I'm traveling with my wife. And he was like, that is a crazy combination.
Like, oh, you shouldn't say that. You shouldn't say that if you're in Border Patrol.
He said, he was like, everybody thinks Iranians have bombs, but they are very nice people. Like, he was confused.
You're saying that as the border agent. You don't have bombs. Look at your wife.
How do Italy folks view Trump and everything that's happening here?
Everybody thinks we're idiots everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
God damn.
You guys don't have any conservative listeners, right?
I think listeners the board. Yeah. I mean,
conservative listeners.
No, fuck them. I voice opinions about what's happening and him and I'll get comments and messages, but I don't give a shit. I mean, it's so clear at this point. If you are in support of him and what he's doing, it's just at this point to still be backing it. And it's not even a stereotype. The people that I've met and talked to that are still very much pro Trump and pro that administration, they are just not right. You know what I'm saying? Because at this point, you can't be.
It's like my racist Uncle Eddie.
Yeah. You're either a product of your environment. You've got racist folks. You came up in a. Mm-hmm. Or you're obviously just, you know, so rich and delusional that you think that you know what's going on. You want to be, you know, get the benefits you can. And you're also just a bad person.
No. How do you look at children in cages and have like zero empathy?
I mean,
like, how do you not, if you have a child, then.
And that's one of many examples.
Oh, I think this one. I'm like, it's sad for us, but I'm like, well, I can still fly. But it's his mom. Like, his sister's a citizen. His sister couldn't go and see her grandchildren be born. She lives in Orange County. Like, so
she can't fly back because she's worried about getting back in.
Well, I think a lot. Plus, she has two children. Like, right. How do you fly to Iran with your two children on? Like, you have a newborn. You're not going to fly with your newborn, and you certainly don't want to fly with a 1 year old. And
yeah.
Like, the husband still has to work. So, what are you going to do? Wrangle children on, all the way to Iran? Sounds horrific.
That's not going to happen. Wow.
So like some bad reality show.
You just see your grandkids grow up on FaceTime.
Jesus.
Insane. Happier topics.
Happier topics.
Now, I've never been to Italy. Italy is one, like,
you
my
went to
dream
Germany,
vacation.
Though. Yeah. I plan it. If you ever want anybody to plan a European extravaganza,
or
any vacation. Yeah.
I've mastered it.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
I mastered infinity pools. I've never met an infinity pool I don't like.
Here's the thing. You go to your Instagram, and your Instagram looks like a damn Travel Channel show. Yeah. It's you in.
Yeah, you should host one.
And I would love to fucking host.
It's you in a lot of infinity pills.
I mean, the good ones you can.
Yeah. HBO Travel Show. Sure, okay. Let's do it.
Also, that's the real travel experience. When you see something so luxurious and that takes you back, that you're like, holy fuck, this is gorgeous. This will be fine.
Some places, like that place we're going for our anniversary, it has like a movie theater. It's cool. You just get like fancy popcorns.
Yeah.
Swim in an infinity
swim
pool.
Swim in it,
just,
yeah.
Oh, the pool has a theater.
No, not the pool has a theater.
The pool has a popcorn pool. What are you talking about? What happens?
There's like a movie theater.
Dive in it like Scrooge McDuck.
Private movie theater. Yeah. We're going to watch our wedding video.
Whoa.
That's sweet.
I arranged that. I'm sure he's come up with nothing.
Yeah, he's like, honey, can we just watch Con Air?
Yeah, he's like, no. He has no goddamn good idea.
How did you, the special again, They Ready.
They Ready.
On Netflix.
Yeah.
You're a crusher. I've known that from working with you at the store for so long and just seeing you on shows. And I feel like you were real locked in for this. And I want to know, like, how did you prep, like, the set? How far in advance did you know you were going to do it? And did Tiffany kind of weigh in? Or because I know you guys are pals from back in the day.
I mean, we got the official offer. It came in, like, December. So I had, like, a few months. Mm-hmm. And then I didn't realize that I couldn't use anything I had done on a CD. And I was like, oh, God, that's, like, a lot of material that you can't. Why would anybody care about audio? Like, it didn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
And then I was like, uh-oh, I got to rewrite a lot of shit. So I had, like, 3 months that I just worked on it steady and got up a million times. Like,
yeah.
But I've been I've been doing this for 17 years.
Yeah.
What's one more set gonna really? Where you do it towards the end, you're like, oh, this one more set's gonna make a difference.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's that thing also where you're pulling from so many examples that you, like, even if you have to rework certain jokes, it's like, okay, so I can't talk about that crazy uncle. Thankfully, I have more crazy uncles.
There's a never-ending supply in my family.
Yeah, your family, and I love the fact that in this special, you have a photo in the background that's you on it's your first birthday?
It was my first birthday in front of a trailer.
Yeah. And so that's that thing where you go like, no, when I say I'm poor, look. Look, like, when I say I grew up poor, this is the example.
I know I have Gucci shoes on now.
Right. But you fucking earned it.
Oh, I worked my ass off. All right.
How many times did you go to Side Splitters in Tampa? You've earned.
I'm back there. back there in 2 weeks.
You've earned your goddamn Gucci shoes,
what
April
are
Macy.
You at Side Splitters.
Wait, trailer for how long? How long was that?
My parents they were students at Penn State. So it was like a student trailer that was like our student housing. And my mom was like, I liked it because they were so young when they had me. You know.
How young?
I think they got married when they were 18. My mom said she thought she was pregnant, but apparently she was just working on a dairy farm and she was drinking a lot of milkshakes. So she said, we couldn't afford to go to a doctor. It turns out I was just fat.
Whoa.
And then she was like, but we already told everybody we were pregnant at 18, so we had to try to get pregnant really quick.
Oh, that's good sound logic.
It's not the best. It's they're thinking.
Well, we said we were pregnant, so we can't just not have a baby.
They knew nobody would let them get married unless she was pregnant. So they had to like hurry up and keep up with the lie they were maintaining.
Wait, so she thought she was pregnant, but she was just fat. So were people, because we've heard this story all the time from guys seeing a gal that they may have heard something.
You just use the word gal.
He's very old-fashioned, Adam. Yeah.
Old-timey over here.
Yeah. I got a Jew, Oklahoma mom that says gal a lot, so it's rubbed off. But you know the times when you see...
If you want, he's got some sarsaparilla in the fridge if you want one.
Oh, my God. I actually do.
Damn it, Brad. Welcome back to Things I Should Have.
Sarsaparilla.
Because I saw it happen live once where a guy... saw a woman who he thought was pregnant because there'd been rumblings in our circle about them having kids, but she was just chunky, and he was like, do you know the sex yet? And she goes, of what? Yeah. And then he goes, of your fat, and like tried to like make a joke out of it, and
sex
she was
of your fat.
Yeah, and because he knew at that point, oh, she's not pregnant, and she kind of laughed. It was like, yeah, man, it's just just kind of put on some lbs, but thank you. And man, it was no good way to get out of that. So did that ever happen with mom?
No, I just think they were just dumb and she didn't know. It wasn't that bright.
And I just love the fact that when you say things on stage that it is authentic, because it's not going to be like a Vanilla Ice situation where you're like, I grew up in the streets, and you find out he had this like nice suburban home. Drake started from the bottom, now we're here. Fuck yourself.
I mean, I went to so many coke parties when I was like 7 years old. And
coke
they were
parties?
In our backyard in an above ground pool.
And that's not a cola.
No. They were just like, I was like, these people like staying up all weekend, just like
all
me.
All week? Yeah. What did you, that's so funny. Yeah, you just thought they were cooler adults, right?
I thought they were cool adults who loved to just stay up.
Wait, so you had no clue, did you see them even doing it and just thought like.
No, I didn't know, but they were, I mean, now my mom tells me.
Yeah.
She was like, oh yeah, your Aunt Susie was on crack. You're like, wait, what? What's happening? Oh God.
I just thought she really liked that Rubik's Cube. Yeah. There's so many things you hear as an adult about like, it just from like parents, like things my mom has told me about certain times. I'm like, wow, I mean, obviously you're a kid, you're looking through a different set of goggles, but like to get that info later.
But I think I always knew it wasn't normal.
Of course.
Like because you go to other friends' houses and you're like, oh, there's food in the fridge.
They go to bed at 9
p.m. They go to bed.
They're not having coke parties.
Yeah, they don't let like their children sleep over on school nights. I was just always allowed to be at, like all week, my friend Chris Marchetti, her family would keep me for like months.
Whoa.
Wow.
Yeah.
When were you okay with that?
I didn't care. It was just a better situation. Like there were evening hugs. There was some attention.
Dude.
Like there was,
and you're like, wow, this is nice.
Yeah, it was
a
really
good evening
refreshing.
Hug can go a long way. You can ride that into the morning
for like an 11-year-old kid. You're like, this is great.
So
they take us places.
Yeah. So do you watch like the Jerry Springer show and go, oh man, those people look normal.
We weren't like, I think we were just kind of sad. Like there was just a lot of sad,
Yeah.
So my parents, I'm sure they were coping and they were still young.
Yeah.
So they wanted to go out. Like it didn't matter that they had a kid. They still wanted to go.
That wasn't going
to
stop.
And this
them.
Was no. in what city or in state?
It was in Easton, Pennsylvania.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Sure was.
Man, and when did you make the trek? High school, college?
I went to University of Florida for 2.5 years before dropping out. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was just a fucked up mess, though. Like, when you have abandonment issues and you're...
Now you're far away from home.
And my parents were so, like, overprotective. I was never allowed to do anything. Mm-hmm. So when I got to college, it was just a wild tour.
That and man, University of Florida. I've heard some stories.
It was aggressive.
Everybody needs those years or days or months, whatever it is.
Well, I didn't really attend a lot of classes, but I did have a great time.
Yeah. Do you look back on that time with fondness? Yes and no.
Yes and no. Yeah. I feel sad for that part. Like, I was like, oh, had I just been a little more well-adjusted
in
that place in my life.
Does comedy come into play while you're at the University of Florida?
No.
No?
No, I was far too fucked up. I was so obsessed with guys that, like, I remember I liked this guy. I sold back all my books before finals to buy him an Easter basket.
This was
my level of functioning. It was like I felt like peeps were more important.
I don't need the books. I don't need that.
I mean, that's
stuff.
Really sweet.
It's a little crazy.
Yeah.
Today's episode of the About Last Night podcast is brought to you by Koi CBD. Ooh, CBD oil, baby. Feeling relaxed just hearing me talk about it, aren't you? If you don't know what CBD oil is, don't feel like a dum-dum. Adam's here to tell you. CBD is an oil derived from industrial hemp and has no psychoactive effects, man. So you can get the medical benefits, okay, from the hemp plant without getting high.
There's no weed. You're not going to get paranoid. It's a great natural alternative to over-the-counter and pharmaceutical drugs. People use CBD oil for pain, depression, anxiety, stress, inflammation. New benefits are being discovered for CBD oil all the time. My mom uses the topical cream from Koi CBD. And it's helped immensely, which is big time because she's been having a tough time with arthritis and finding a solution. And Koi CBD is stepping up to the plate with their topical creams. They've got tincture droplets, vape pens, edibles, pet products for your dogs and cats to chill out. Come on, it's a stressful life being a cat and a dog. You want to chill out? Get some Koi CBD treats. They got topical products and more. All their products are manufactured in the USA with 100% natural CBD oil. It's a family-owned and operated company, and it truly is the best-tasting CBD products on the market. I feel like left and right, people are approaching me after shows, just being in the comedy business, because comedy and CBD kind of go hand in hand. It's a great stress reliever for our world. The Koi CBD gummies I fuck with daily because it puts me in a zen state before I start my day. And at night, kind of relaxes me and helps me sleep better, quite honestly. It's America's number one trusted CBD brand. All the Koi CBD products are THC-free. And there's a guaranteed purity, safety, and consistency level in all of their products. They're the best tasting CBD products on the market. Again, I've tried so many. The amount of people that have been like, try these pens. We got these flavors and these, you can put strawberry. Root beer foot. Like, shut up, man. No, I'm going with Koi CBD because they got the most shit and the best tasting shit. And quite honestly, it's made me feel the best out of any of the products I've tried. And that's why they're America's number one trusted CBD brand. So if you want to get your stress relief on, your relaxation going, and start living a better, healthier life, get rid of that depression, anxiety, stress, and just start feeling better, then get hooked up with Koi CBD, okay? Head on over right now to KoiCBD.com, that's KOICBD.com, and enter promo code AboutLastNight for 20% off any retail order from the website. That's Koi, KOICBD.com, promo code AboutLastNight for 20% off any retail order from the website. Gummies, tinctures, pens, creams, they got it all. I'm telling you, they're the shit. And Brad and I couldn't love them more. Who knows? They might fucking make Brad grow, which would ruin his act, but would help him reach the Cocoa Puffs on the top shelf.
Yeah.
I think we all know it's local.
Were you this, just personable and, like, upbeat? Like,
I think I'm far more of an introvert. Like, I mean, I'm upbeat, but I'm good and small. Like, yeah. You can't go to a large and, like, just shucky-ducky my way through a crowd. Yeah. I mean, yeah. It gives me tremendous anxiety. Yeah, like, I just want to go home and put on jammy pants, smoke a joint.
You know what?
I mean, that always sounds great.
As we get older, I think most people are like that. Like, you want to just have your friends, and like now if you're in a large social situation, especially for comics, as soon as one of your friends goes, oh, this is the comedian, you're like, I'm leaving right now. Yeah. I'm out. I'm done. Because that now I know that I'm going to be expected to perform for the next fucking hour.
One of the guys, one of the many comedians I've dated throughout, he used to tell people he was a chemist because he felt like nobody had follow-up questions if you were a chemist.
I mean, not a bad idea.
Yeah.
You know, and then
no, not too many. No, I don't know what mine would be. Like, do you use pipettes or like that's my favorite. Like,
what's your favorite Bunsen burner? Like,
you have no ideas.
Yeah,
that's good.
And it's not so common where if you say accountant, there's gonna be like three other guys that go, oh yeah, I'm one of the. Where are you working at?
What firm?
Yeah, you're like, ah, fuck. Yeah. I mean, yeah, not a bad idea.
Were you, was there anyone funny in your family that kind of, you feel like you got your humor from?
My mom's really, she's a funny storyteller, but it's always on accident. Like, it's not like she can have purposeful jokes. Like, she doesn't know how to craft. She's not going to craft a set.
Yeah.
But she's a boozer, so she's just always funny because she's, sauced
likes
up.
To chat, got good stories.
And my dad wanted to be a comedy writer. Like, that was his dream. He was staffed on the Mary Hart Show when he was, like, 21 years old, and then it got canceled, and then he quit.
Damn.
That was that because he had this lady, right? Yeah. I had the dream crusher right here.
Yeah. So does he? Yeah. So like when you started doing it, did he look at you like, hey, you gonna take me along or here's some jokes for you?
He's
or?
Just excited. He's just like genuinely like he's so happy. Like and he liked to tell me he's like, oh, it was way better than that last thing you did. Like, oh, great. But it was like enough of a compliment.
Yeah. Right. You're like, I'll take it. Yeah.
that's all I'm gonna get.
If that's all I'm getting, fine.
No, he's super excited.
It's kind of like the raw honesty. honesty. You feel like you, because I feel like you definitely bring that to the stage. Like what you see is what you get, and you're just, you are truly you on stage. I feel like that's, everybody aspires to get to that point, to where you know you don't have any sort of filters and you're talking as you up there. Do you feel like it took you a minute to get to that?
It did. I used to ape Brian Regan a lot. That was my thing.
Yeah.
I was like, I loved him, and I was like, oh, that was my voice and mannerisms for probably the first 3 years.
Yeah.
I feel like everybody has a little bit of that.
Yeah. Where they,
you don't know, it's
you don't even know you're doing
there's
it.
There's no way to not emulate somebody when you're starting out, because
you have no point of reference. So you're just doing what you think
a comic or what you should be doing or what you like, because there's no way to, I mean, it's probably the same for sports, musicians, everybody.
Yeah. It's funny, because you can kind of tell when someone, like if they're a new comic, you go like, oh, we're in the Dane Cook era right now, because so many comics are like trying to be Dane Cook, or like
a lot of Chad Bergs, now
I feel like we're in this Rogan Kreischer era where a lot of guys are trying to do that.
Okay.
But would you say that Regan was your first like comedic influence?
I liked Eddie Murphy and Chris Rock and Chappelle and Wanda Sykes, and I mean, I just like, if somebody's considered a great, like I can find something, even if it's not necessarily my sensibility, that I like, you're like, oh well, that element's good. But I didn't find Regan until I started comedy. Like, it's not like I saw him as a child.
But I
just think word choice and physicality and energy, so likable.
I mean, so
likable.
So when do you start? Is it after college then?
I started 2002, and I went through a really bad breakup, and I was kicked out of my place with a restraining order.
Yikes.
I was slapping him when he was taking a dump, and then, and then I was living on my friend's couch.
You can get arrested for that?
I didn't get arrested, but he was like, you got to go. And I thought we were going rollerblading.
You gotta go, like, go wait in the car
with a restraining order, and I was like, hey, do you want to go rollerblading? I didn't know after I slapped him when he was taking a shit I would be evicted.
Where'd you slap him?
Just across the face.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about it in the special, but it's like, yeah, if you're gonna slap a dude, that's the time to do it.
You got.
You're most vulnerable when you're taking a poop.
Yeah. You're not getting up.
No, you're not. No matter what happens,
you're not getting a backhand in return. Nothing like that. They're like, all right, I guess I'm just staying here and taking this.
Yeah, not getting a leg kick.
The start of my comedy career was hitting a man on the shooter.
Was it really?
Yeah, it really was.
Whoa.
No, because then I was like, what else am I going to do with my life? I'm just living on my friend's couch in Brentwood, like eating burritos every day, crying.
And then from that you go, well, Laugh Factory's got an open mic, let me try that shit.
I tried the open mic at the Comedy Store, and I think I had no jokes. Like, I was like, well, I'm gonna try it. And you know, he used to go and pull a number. Did you guys ever do that, where you'd
I didn't come up to the store. I came at the Laugh Factory, where you had to wait in line starting at 11 a.m.
Oh, wow.
Sign up at 2 a.m.
I started doing the store open mics in 2007. Was it still... I remember having to write my name down and then getting picked. I don't know if it was the number, though.
The number, you'd come in the morning, and then you'd have to come back. It was such a bullshit system. You'd come back at 5 o'clock, and they would pull numbers to see who was getting up the next week. So you had like a 3 prongs. You're like, why? Just give fucking spots. Now there's just homeless people waiting with donuts outside for their number.
Yeah. Yeah. There was a lot of that I discovered when I first started doing open mics in Hollywood, where it was like, oh, like, cause I didn't even go on the first time, cause I was too scared. Like, oh man, these are professional comedians. And then I'm like, I'll just watch the show to see what kind of level we're working at. And I saw some guy walk up with a trash bag over his head and throw things at people. I'm like, okay, I could have gone up now.
Yeah. I can do this.
Yeah. I'm all right.
I don't think this guy has 3 minutes on traveling.
Yeah, but like, did one of your friends dare you to do it, or did you do it all?
No,
on your own?
I needed to redirect my sad energy, like my restraining order energy. I was like, well, I can't just cry on a couch. And then my dad and my therapist were like, you don't really. My dad told me I didn't have any other life skills. He's like, you're not really good at anything else. He was like, funny. He's like, I think your calling is stand up.
Whoa, okay.
Yeah. So all right. That was good. It was like it.
Kind of like, I mean, that's kind of
once
like.
Once again, cuts out one of those dad backhanded weird compliments that turns out to be good.
But it's also like saves you some, maybe some time of the bullshit being like, look, this is, I think this is what you should do. And you're
like, all of a sudden I'm going to school to become an entertainment attorney.
Yeah.
Or something.
Yeah.
Some nonsense.
And so, so he told you that and you were kind of, it resonated?
It did. I was like, I've always, like, it was one of my selling features. If I ever got dumped, I'd be like, I'm smart, I'm funny. Mm-hmm. Like, it was always in the lineup. Yeah. It was in the top three of what I was. I'm a good dancer.
I gotta got a backhand when you're on the shitter if you wrong me.
That guy was such an asshole. Fuck him. Funny thing is, later on, he finally admitted, he's like, I've never dated a woman who hasn't hit me.
And you're like, yikes.
Oh, God. Well, oh, God. That's a sign. Maybe look in the mirror at that point and say, like, maybe it's me.
It's him. Yeah. It was definitely him.
Boy, that sounds like a piece of info you would not want to give up on, like, a dating show. No, like, I'm sorry, suitor number neurotic. One. The question was, what's your name? Oh, okay. Sorry.
Wildly neurotic, that fella.
Jesus.
Working through some dad
if every
issues.
Girl's hitting you, that's a bad sign.
Yeah. It is amazing once you get past some of those toxic relationships and then you look back on them, you go, what the fuck?
I can't believe what I tolerated.
Yeah.
Like,
I bailed a girl out of jail twice.
Same girl?
What?
Twice.
For what?
She didn't pay her rent and she had unpaid parking tickets and they just came and got her.
They can jail you for not paying your rent?
In Oklahoma they can.
Hey guys, Adam Ray here. Quick break from the episode to talk to you about MyBookie.com. Look, it's a brand new season of football. Antonio Brown is on the Raiders. Le'Veon Bell's with the Jets. Odell Beckham's in Cleveland. The one thing that hasn't changed, where I'm putting my money on all the games. MyBookie is the place to bet on football every weekend. MyBookie.com has better bonuses and more prop bets than any other sports book on the planet. Period. It's just a fact of the matter. This year, they're hosting the first ever online handicapping super contest. First place is guaranteed to win at least $100,000 and it only costs $100 to enter. All you got to do is pick 5 NFL games against the spread every week to climb the leaderboard and score your share of a huge cash prize pool. Here's what I would recommend to all the ALN listeners. Go to mybookie.com, okay? It's always the right play. You bet, you win, they pay. You bet, they win, they pay. It's never been easier to bet and make money on sports. MyBookie has live in-game betting on every NFL game, so you can bet and win wherever you are, whenever you want. They've got the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score each game. Brad and I have been using MyBookie for a couple months now. And it's not just sports. MyBookie.com also has all the casino games that you love to play, but you can't get to Vegas, baby. You got a PTA meeting and a kid's soccer practice. So you can play roulette, slots, whatever you want, all online in the comfort of your own home. You bet, they pay, you win. That's how it works. MyBookie.com. Sign up right now at MyBookie.com using the promo code LASTNIGHT when creating your account to claim the bonus up to $1,000 first deposit bonus. MyBookie.com, promo code LASTNIGHT, up to $1,000 first deposit bonus. Double your first deposit, baby. That's how it works. You bet, you win, they pay. Bet, win, get paid. MyBookie.com, promo code LASTNIGHT. Do it, baby. And now back to the episode.
What happened to bail me out? Shame on you. Bail me out again. Shame on me. Damn it, Brad.
Yeah.
That's love, huh?
Bailed her out twice and was in one car accident where she was yelling at me so bad she missed the turnoff of the freeway. So she just went. So we went off the freeway and then landed in a ditch. We're fine.
And you stayed together after
when
that?
Was this?
Or was that the deal breaker?
That was the last dwarf I ever dated. And I was like, enough of these short bitches.
The last dwarf I ever dated. That, I mean.
Can you please title something?
Yeah, Jesus Christ. That is a children's book or a coffee table or a Julia Roberts movie. I don't know what that is.
Yeah, at least that is.
Oh, that's
fantastic. But then my whole thing was like, she was like the hottest dwarf ever. Yeah. So I was like, well, I'm a hot dude dwarf, so I got to be with her.
Yeah.
And you get locked into that and you feel like this is the only person who's ever going to care about me.
This is also at what age?
This was 26.
Yeah, I mean, 26. Still mid-20s, I think you're still a little, like, not completely...
Yeah, you're all mangled.
Yeah.
Your prefrontal cortex as a man doesn't even form until you're 26 years old. Like, your frontal lobe that's for risk-taking behaviors.
That makes a lot of sense.
It's not gelled up. Your brain meat's not gelled.
Great. I don't even know what that is.
I mean, it makes a lot of sense, though.
No, men's brains don't fully gel up.
Yeah.
I know that's probably not the technical doctor.
No, I think it is.
It's not the doctor.
I think
the
wait, what does that happen for a woman? Way sooner,
earlier.
Probably.
Yeah.
Age way 5.
Yeah, yeah. Just, much earlier.
Yeah.
Dang.
I mean, yeah.
This does make sense. I mean, dudes.
Why do you guys crash shit and make
it's,
shit?
Yeah, that's why dudes invented butt chugging. Like, that's not a late 30s move.
No.
That happened from a dumb 17, 18 year old boy.
I don't even know what that butt chugging.
Butt chugging.
Yeah.
College kids a couple years ago and trying to find new ways to get fucked up were pouring cough syrup into their asshole. Flipping, standing upside down like you're going to take a keg stand and then they would flip up and have have a buddy. No, they're getting fucked up from it.
Yeah, because it absorbs faster into the system.
Your asshole?
Through your anus.
These are the types
good
of
to know. When I hear that,
just in case you're wondering what to do on your anniversary.
Yeah, in case you're bored in Florence anytime soon.
I can't wait.
It's stories like that that make me miss Jay Leno and his like just really like, you know, classic headline like monologue jokes, because butt chugging would be like such a great
butt chug.
Yeah, it's a real thing.
Oh, that's so upsetting.
There's no female.
Are there any women? Are there any women butt chugging?
I'm sure. Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure. I'm sure we can go back to your alma mater of Florida and find some butt chuggers.
Yeah, I'm sure. BCers up there.
I mean, I think we're 10 years away from a high school having the butt chugger as their mascot.
Oh my God.
By the way, you don't butt chug and go on to do anything great. I'm just saying that right now.
No.
Nobody was ever like, dude, Bill Gates, former butt chugger, you know?
Now, did you love stand up like right away? Like, or
I loved it as a kid, like watching stand up, because there was sad. And I feel like that was my escape as a kid.
Yeah.
It was like watching stand up. I just didn't know, because I never saw anybody like me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That it was something that you could
you need that.
Make a living. Like, I didn't identify.
Yeah, and then so then when you finally try it, are you
the first time I tried it? It like I brought like 30 people, and I was like, I am a goddamn star.
Yeah, people came to see me.
The second time was nary a laugh.
Yeah,
not a laugh in the room.
You're like, so anybody seen a good butt chug lately? What else is going on in the news?
Yeah, I got nothing.
Why was it such a?
It wasn't good.
Yeah,
you know, you're not good.
And
it was like I had false hopes based on my friends, and then I didn't get on stage like for another 6 months.
What were you talking about at that time?
You know, it's funny, I was always talking about sex.
Yeah,
like just fucking.
Yeah,
just talking about fucking.
It's a common game.
And
it works.
And then it was about a year and a half in, like, and then I would feel compelled to go. I would sleep all day. Like, I'd take a Benadryl when I'd wake up in the morning, and then I would take a Benadryl just to sleep all day because I would be so nauseous.
Oh,
like,
wow.
The fear was so overwhelming. But
to
I would
perform.
Still, to perform. Wow. And then I would wake up like an hour before and like hurl my body to open mics.
And yet I've heard these stories before where like people are anxious, people are nauseous, people are throwing up before their set, and yet we're still showing up.
Yeah, it was. And then I would be in the back of the room like, oh, you don't have to do this.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to make you. You could just run away.
Yeah.
Just run
and you're
home.
Not getting paid. It's not like you're like, oh, no who's going to tell the jokes tonight at the open mic?
McReds in the Valley.
Mm-hmm.
People playing pool and like bowling alleys.
Yeah, how many of those awful gigs did you
so many?
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, that's good though. I mean, did you have any sort of understanding of like, I just gotta get up and get stage time, or did somebody tell you?
I just
like
felt like I broke down who I liked. Like, I was like, okay, these are my top 10 comics, and then I broke it based on elements that I thought made them great.
Yeah.
And then I was like, every week, I was obsessive. Every week I'd give myself little assignments. Like, I realized I wasn't like comfortable moving in my space. And I was like, all right, this week you're going to work on space movement. Like, just moving. And then the next week it would be like, all right, you're going to work on this. And then I would have like a joke notebook, and then I would grade my sets. Like, and if any joke got less than a C, it was really cuckoo bananas. More than 3 times, it would go into a retooling note. Like, I would have to like, a rewriting notebook, and then it would come back. And
see, but at the same time, it sounds crazy, but you worked.
That
was so much more work than like when I started doing open mics. I would like, I had my piece of paper, I had my notes, I had my set written out, and then I was talking to some other guys in line. They're like, I'm gonna wing it. I'm like, well, that's not gonna go well for you.
Where are they now?
Yeah,
where are the wingers now?
Yeah, they're playing butt chuggers.
Yeah, exactly. My obsessive, it worked because I got stuff fast.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, I started making a living after like 3.5 years.
Damn, that's
impressive.
It was, yeah, I got Montreal after 2.5, and then I got Last Comic after 3.5, and then I started making my living.
Damn,
that's
it wasn't a
pretty
great
good.
Living. Like I was still sleeping on my aunt's floor for a little while.
Sure, but you're making
like,
money.
Yeah,
and Last Comic really, that really helped. Yeah,
it did, but it wasn't like I wasn't very strong. I probably only had like 25 minutes. Mm-hmm. Like I was three and a half years in.
Yeah, and that's like the downfall of Last Comic. What it would do sometimes, it would take comics that had a great 10 minutes, 20 minutes, and then go cool. Now headline on the road with 50. You're like,
but I would
good
do
luck.
These like the meth shed. Like I worked at this place that was like a meth shed in Odessa. It was a front for a crystal meth ring, and I'd go there like 4 times a year.
Oh.
Did you ever do that?
I did that one.
You did the meth show?
Yes.
Okay. Do you remember? And it was like 10 dudes
with fucking
off of oil rigs with dirty t-shirts.
Yeah.
Like, how the fuck are they doing?
And this guy, Big Mike. Oh my God, you did that.
I did.
See, that's that thing. It's like you and Jimmy Pardo. Anytime I go somewhere, I go, I'm the first comic to ever do that. Yeah. Nope. Macy and Pardo have been here.
Really?
Yeah. Every shit gig that I'm like, none of my friends have ever played this. Well, there's Macy and Pardo's headshot
Macy's
on the wall.
Macy's been everywhere.
By the way, meth sheds, it just has to have a name like Big Mike running the...
Well, Big Mike's serving 2 consecutive life sentences.
So yeah.
It must have been a lot of meth. And I guess you don't realize it was probably pretty dangerous. It was like this shed in the middle of a dirt parking lot.
Yeah. Such a delusional comic. You're like, it's, hey, it's stage time, right?
Yeah.
It was. I needed the money.
Yeah.
It's like, I'll take his weird pile of... It was cash,
Yeah, it was
too.
Cash. Always cash. It was just this...
You
yeah,
realize you're probably like laundering.
How do you get to Odessa, Texas?
Well,
there's
you...
There's an airport, right?
There's an airport. You fly,
Midland, Odessa.
You fly into Dallas. Someone hands you crack.
A tweaker drives you in a Flintstone car.
You do crack. Yeah. And then when you wake up from your crack binge, you're like, where am I? You're like, Odessa. So that's pretty much how you get there.
What's the worst you've done? Is that
God.
The worst?
No. The worst... The worst may have been Yuma, Arizona.
Okay.
It was a quote-unquote casino.
Okay.
And by casino, I mean it had one card table.
Oh, God.
And
there's more.
Yeah, and then the guy did that classic move where I was promised like $600 or whatever. Yeah. So I drove from LA to Yuma, Arizona, and I do the gig, and I get off stage. He's like, yeah, we didn't sell any tickets, so we can't pay you. And I just kind of looked at him like, no, because I agreed to come out here for this amount of money.
Yeah,
so
and I'm here.
And I don't know what possessed me to do this, but like I looked at the guy and I just said, yeah, if you don't pay me, that's going to be a lot of problems for you.
Yeah.
And I had no what was I going to do? Nothing. I could do nothing at that point. He was like, all right. And then he like acted offended and then he gave me the $600. But yeah, it was like, I just remember him acting like, fine, I'll give you the money that I agreed to pay you, then you drove 8 hours to get here for. Yes, yes,
yeah.
that's how this transaction
works.
Yeah, it's, fucking nuts, man.
Yeah,
just some of those hell gigs. When do you start doing USO tours?
Let me tell my hell gig.
Okay,
oh, yeah.
Sorry.
Mine was in Butte, Montana. Ever been there?
I feel like I have.
It's the butthole of America.
I feel like I did Butte on like a Bob and Tom tour.
Yeah. It was, I think maybe 3,000 to 5,000 people lived there. It was about 4 hours from like Billings, Montana.
Okay. Maybe that's the one.
And that was their major city.
Yeah. And it was just like this upstairs bar show. And everybody that was in the town came to the bar, and only a handful of people went upstairs to the show because everybody was so fucked up downstairs they wouldn't let everybody upstairs that couldn't make it up the stairs, which was most people. So there was maybe 60 people crammed in this room, maybe 2 times the size of this. Mm-hmm. And there were just a lot of people like, you know, yelling to hurry up because they wanted to, because Arby's was going to close soon because there was one Arby's in the town.
I mean, that was the spot.
Yeah.
Mine was in Wisconsin. It was also a casino, which I find to be the most. I had to do 1.5 hours following an El DeBarge cover band.
Yeah.
Yes. Not even El DeBarge.
And the bar was in front of the stage. So there was a bartender in front of me making drinks while I was
on
stage. So
did you have to deal with the blender?
The blender, and I was like, I don't have any more jokes for you people. You don't like the machines. And so I made a straw, like a stick straw. You just keep putting straws together. And then if I was wasn't getting a laugh. I would just poke the bartender. Like, this is all I have at this point. I'm I'm not coming back.
Yeah,
here.
Those are fun gigs where 10 minutes into your set, you're like, I will never come back here. I don't care what the money is. Yeah. And hopefully you stick to it.
Yeah.
When did you start doing USO stuff? Because you've done a ton of USO tours.
I haven't done them in a while. That was probably maybe 2007 I started.
Mm-hmm.
Started. You've done a ton too.
Yeah.
You guys both done?
Yeah.
All right. They're fun. Yeah. They're super fun.
I love them. I mean, you talk about, we just talked about the worst gigs. Some of the best gigs are the USO shows. Because you got to,
so appreciative.
You got to go to Kabul to do it. Yeah. But at the same time, the soldiers are just so appreciative. They love the fact that you're there. And you probably had this, but like, is there a better feeling than someone coming up through your merch line and going, I saw you 4 years ago,
Afghanistan. Yeah, I feel like a lot of people have seen me in Korea.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is
that one of the most frequent places you've been
I went like four times to Korea, so I feel like, you know, I probably hit a lot of different time frames, there's a better chance. Maybe like I was only in Iraq once, and Saudi, it was like small group of people. So.
Dang, what was performing in Iraq like?
I slept in Saddam Hussein's palace. It was
What?
I did that too.
Yeah. You get to sleep in the old hunting lodge.
Yep.
And what's I actually like? Went wandering. I was like, oh, I'm gonna go take pictures on. I didn't realize that I couldn't just wander around base.
Yeah. Did you see the Flintstones palace that he had for his kids?
Yeah. What? Well, he murdered his his son-in-laws, both of them.
Yeah.
Murdered two son-in-laws, and then to make it up to the grandchildren, he built them, which he also liked, the Flintstones. He built them a replica of Flintstone Village outside his window.
Psycho.
Yeah, and it's nicer than any home you've ever been in.
Of course it is.
Like, it's insane.
Wait, it's a replica of the Flintstones' house?
Yeah, the whole village.
Yeah, the whole village.
The whole situation. Wow.
All bedrock.
Yeah. So it's
real crazy.
Yeah, it's just like this... like the best treehouse you could ever imagine.
I mean, what did that conversation go down like with him and the guys who were building it? Like, have you seen the Flintstones? You haven't? Oh my God. Have you seen the Jetsons at least? Jesus Christ. What cartoons did you...
Well, do you know when the first strike went in? Did they tell you that? The first strike, when they tried to get Saddam, they killed like 70-some members of the Ba'ath Party.
Mm-hmm.
And they hit the movie theater. They were all watching Pretty Woman.
It was right.
Yeah.
It was right when he snapped the case. It was right when he snapped the jewelry case shut. Julie Roberts screams, and then boom.
I think that's pretty exciting.
That's really awesome. Yeah. Does Julie Roberts know that, you think?
I don't know, but I feel like she should.
I mean, if you're going to go out.
If you ever have a chance to go to dinner with Julia Roberts, do you bring that up?
I think you have.
I think you do.
I think you have.
Do you know that when they.
Even the members of the Ba'ath Party fans.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Are there things now just that. That you want to do career wise?
Of course. I don't know about you guys. Like, I feel like, are you excited? I'm like, I don't feel any joy. You know what I mean? But it's like you get the joy for
There's
a few minutes.
Yeah.
It's like you get it for a little bit, but then you're like, all right, what's next? Do the next thing.
Yeah.
There's a point where it becomes, like work. And I think it is that challenge of finding ways to like keep it fresh and exciting so that you don't fall into like a monotonous routine. But like you were just saying, like joking about travel show, but I mean, is there something like that that you're
like, I have scripted shows that I've written and that I would like
based on your life.
Yeah. Based on my family.
Yes.
Do it.
Wacky family.
Call it that. Wacky family.
Yeah, I feel like someone's going to go in right before you and go, I mean, my family's pretty crazy. My mom, she doesn't know which way's up or down. And then he's going to laugh like, all right, I'm going to get the show. And then and then you walk in.
Double butter knife Christmas stabbing.
Wait, what?
We had a double butter knife Christmas stabbing. My crackhead cousin stabbed my uncle, and then my mom like deflected a butter knife and took a butter knife to the arm.
Holy shit.
Yeah, it's really crazy.
I've only
like
read about
front,
that.
Front lawn fights growing up.
Yeah.
Lots of front lawn fights.
I mean, it sounds horrible until you realize you can start taking bets.
Yeah, adventure isn't an above ground pool, everybody.
I hope that many people, first of all, they should absolutely watch. They're ready. Watch all the comics.
Yeah,
but
they're all fantastic.
Yeah, they're all they're all fucking,
it's a great lineup.
Crushers. Yeah. And
how long have you known Tiff?
Yeah,
probably 2000. She says it's earlier. Maybe 2005, 2006.
Yeah,
Yeah, because
I got, she was in my wedding, and then I gave everybody, instead of flowers, I did plaques. What year we met? Like little, like, well, that's, I crafted cool. them. I did some. I like to craft. I remember all tell dick jokes, and I just craft. And she said it was wrong. My year was wrong, but I do smoke a lot of weed, so my retention is shit.
And then you said in the special that Tiffany was living with you at one point.
Yeah. She lived with me after a divorce. Did you guys ever meet that ex-husband?
Yeah.
I think I was he...
Adult braces?
Mm-hmm.
I think so.
Yeah.
Boo.
Yeah.
Boo. Man, she won.
I remember Tiffany introduced me to him in the maybe the scariest way possible, because it was at the Laugh Factory in Long Beach. Yeah. And she gave me a big hug and goes, like, you gotta meet my husband. And I go, okay, cool. And I just kind of walk over, and she goes... like, and I forget what his name was, but, and then she says, this is that dwarf that I was telling you about, like, I would totally fuck him if I was single. And I'm like,
hey.
Hi. Oh boy. Hey, man.
He's like the most hostile man you've ever met in a sweater vest.
Yeah.
Such a okay, was
they're an animal. Yeah, that's how you know it wasn't a good relationship, when as soon as you break up, all your friends are like, thank God.
Well, I think I think when it's a really bad one, you tell them while they're in it.
Yeah, you hope.
Enough.
Yeah.
Cut the shit with adult braces.
How is hanging with...
Can't afford Invisalign, you got to get out.
Yeah. Is Tiff one of those friends, too, that you feel like you saw and you're like, oh, yeah, it's a matter of time?
Well, you know, the funny thing is I wrote an email to a man, like one of my managers, one of the many shitty managers I've had over the years. And I was like, she's a star. I was like, you know, some people you watch and they just have a twinkle.
Yeah.
You're like,
oh, yeah.
That person has.
Yep.
And I feel like industry doesn't see the twinkle.
No, they're always late to the party.
They're late to the party. And I'm like, I could have told you that. I have an email from 2011.
Yeah.
But I was like, she should be in everything.
Oh, yeah. I used to be on all those midnight shows with her at the factory and just was just like, what is.
Yeah, what are people missing out on?
Yeah,
yeah.
You don't understand, because I'm like, and they keep like attaching to these people and trying to push, and I'm like, oh God, that person's not likable.
I know. Well, nobody wants to. I mean, there's not a lot of risk takers and people wanting to, like, you know, until they get like what she had in a Girls Trip. You know what I'm saying? Then they jump on, because they're like, oh, all right, now it's real. But
it
took a minute for somebody to.
But why though?
Well. Because no one wants to take the risk and get fired. No one wants to be wrong.
They're taking risks on the wrong. Like, I feel a lot of times you're like, that's the wrong.
Yeah.
One, I think if it's television, somebody has to invite somebody into your home for a TV. You're inviting them into your home. It's not like film where they can be larger than life.
Yeah.
They have to be so fucking likable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. To come in every week.
And you got to look at what they've done in like the. Yeah. But like being on stage and like there's a, I think it really does translate like what you present there to be able to do that on screen and a lot of like actors that they just take chances on with, I'm just like, dude, they're pretending to be charismatic. Like there's people that genuinely are.
No, and I feel like as a comic, you see them. And then there's other comics where I'm like, oh, that guy?
Yeah.
You're pushing that guy. I look around the room for the light when that guy's on stage. Yeah. When the fuck is that guy getting light?
Well, I mean, I hope that everyone watches you in They Ready and just, and then they get it. And then you have that moment where everyone goes like, oh, yeah, this chick.
Yeah.
You pop. I hope so.
You pop.
Because my God. So. You like, you're one of these comics where every time I see you go up at the store or wherever, you see, I mean, it, and unfortunately it happens for every female comic where they walk on stage and there's definitely some people in the audience just kind of shrug their shoulders and go, oh boy, here we go. Yeah. Lady comedian.
Ooh, we got something different.
I bet she does crafts.
Yeah.
I do. Love crafts.
And then, but then you just fucking blow them away. I've seen you so many times just, and.
Do you remember that weird roast that we did at the Ha Ha years?
Yeah. We roasted the reality star. Stars,
they hated me.
Yeah,
those whores hated me.
Because, well, it was like, it wasn't even stars.
They
it was
like
Reggie Bush's ex girlfriend and like the White
you
House
had
crashers.
Some great jokes, and you really made fun of me, and I really fully appreciate it.
Well, because I think you and I may have been the only ones that had actually like seen a roast
or written some jokes.
Written, I took it seriously. It was my first roast. I wanted to come out of it.
Theo ran outside and wrote some jokes quick and then came on.
Like, oh shit, we're doing jokes here? Gang, gang. Like, it was that was a crazy night when, I think like one of the Vanderpumps was there. I don't know. It was the trashiest.
Horrifying.
It was the trashiest roast ever.
They were so hostile, and I think I scolded those whores.
You did, because they wouldn't shut up during your set.
I got real angry at them.
And it is amazing, because I've seen this happen. I've seen you do this, and I've seen a couple of people do this. When an audience member gets scolded, like flat out, just like, hey, you're fucking up. Shut up. And like they react like they're like six again. Like they go back to that. Oh, okay, so sorry. Yeah. Like it's crazy to do. It's a trick that, like, you're always trying to be clever and funny, but sometimes you just need to look at someone and be like, hey, shut the fuck up.
Well, I had this kid. I had this opener in Kansas City. It was a 16-year-old kid. His mom was in the audience.
Fun.
And there was a 50-year-old man that started booing him. And the kid was like, thank you, sir. I don't have a father. But you know when he got off stage, his little lip was twitching. He was like holding back like little boy tears.
Oh, God.
And so that was the best scolding I've ever given a human being. Yeah. Like, we did 10 minutes of fun. We're just going to do some jokes before we find the man.
Wow.
Had to assault that man.
Well, because but that's what you get when you come up through the meth shack.
Yeah.
Is you learn.
You get hostile and strong.
Yeah. You learn shit like that, and you don't take any crap from anybody.
No, I've been through too many of those.
Well,
I flew away. There to come and entertain. I always hate when people I hate that comic. I'm like, oh, you hate that fucking guy that just travels and sacrifices parts of his life and every holiday to bring joy to your meaningless piece of shit existence. That's the
what
guy
a
you
horrible
hate.
Human being that is.
What a hateful guy.
Yeah, they had to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning to get to a 6 a.m. flight and have two connections just so we can do the show
and
tonight.
Run through an airport with a backpack all winded.
Definitely done that.
What a piece of shit that person is.
What a fucking asshole.
Where are all your tour dates at? AprilMacy.com?
AprilMacy.com. They're probably not updated, but I will. I need to get better at this. I'm the worst.
I don't know.
You kill it on Instagram.
Floating in pools.
Follow. And you are. I literally have the note. Because I make these notes every time.
That's very cute.
And one of them is, you're always in exotic locations, like a hot tub overlooking a rainforest. And that's literally what you're doing.
Wow. So, I had a really good hotels.com scam I was running for a while.
Are you allowed to say it, or is there a statute of limitations?
It doesn't work anymore, so I hope I don't get caught. Like, you used to be able to, so you get 10 nights for every, you get a free night.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But then, there was a glitch in the system where if you kept multiple devices open, different computers, it would subtract. So it's the average of the nights you've spent. Okay. So say you have a $200 credit. You could keep a computer open, two phones, and then you would subtract the amount. And if you hit pay at the exact same time, you'd get I think I got 3 to 4 free nights.
Holy shit.
First of all, how did you discover this?
It just happened one time. Like, I had two things, screens open, and I was like, pay, and then I hit pay, and I was like, oh, wait, that's
so now are you, so now are you getting friends? Are you getting friends to help you out? Like, it's like the fucking nuclear missile key.
I had enough free nights where they caught on.
Yeah.
They were hip to it.
This woman never pays for anything. Why is that?
I didn't. So many free nights.
That's amazing.
You should start a podcast in the hot tub looking over rainforests.
Oh, I would love that.
Aesthetically, that'd be fun to watch.
But if you do want to go to Italy.
I do.
Okay.
Have you been?
4 times. It's my favorite. Literally, that and Scotland are my favorite places. Man, I got spoiled once and went to Capri in Sardinia with a friend from Scotland. We went on her dad's plane to that place. So that was, fancy. I'll never get to do that like that again.
Yeah.
And then there's a little town called Chioggia. Okay. So I went with a buddy's soccer team, and then we went around to a lot of small, and then went to Rome and Venice and all that. But
that's the thing;
it's unbelievable.
I got
to
do it.
Yeah, I can just take I can take the train to Venice, have lunch while my husband's working, and
great,
come back,
done,
have dinner, and
fucking hell.
Let's get a comedy show at that bar in your restaurant.
Yeah,
all right.
I'll do it. I'll do a tight 20.
All right, all right.
We'll see.
Get Lucky Bar and Restaurant.
Yeah, I'll look for ravioli. You know.
Yeah, yeah. Just pay us in pasta. We're fine.
All right. Come out. I'll plan.
Okay. Good. Thanks for being here.
Thanks.
You're amazing.
Yes.
They Ready on Netflix. Go watch it right now.
Yeah, and then follow you on Instagram. Yeah. Send her your favorite hot tub locations.
Ah, oh, so many. So many.
Good night, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.
Meh, what's up, dog? This is your pal Bugs Bunny. Say, I got a question for you. Do you know who has the head of Elmer Fudd and the body of Foghorn Leghorn? Why, that's Adam Ray and Brad Williams. Ain't I a stinker?